Blog Talk Radio.
To Watford, three on the way. Oh! It went in! It went in! And Indiana wins the ball game. Christian Watford with a three.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
This is Indiana. Yeah, we do it big. Boston on the Big Ten. You know what it is.
And welcome, Hoosier fans, to another episode of the Assembly Call, another victorious episode of the Assembly Call, as Indiana tonight wins 89-66 over North Florida. It was a game that the Hoosiers came out a little uneven early. It was 28-24 at one point. I thought Indiana's defense was a little bit lax there, and then the Hoosiers really turned up the defensive pressure, went on a big run there in the first half, and that pretty much sealed the deal. Indiana led 52-35 at halftime. They took control there with another run in the second half. North Florida scored some points there at the end of the game to kind of even up the second half score, but Indiana was able to get up by about 30 at one point and then relax a little bit. So all in all, a solid victory for Indiana at home against a team that they should beat like this. And we are going to break it down for you tonight. I will be joined by Ryan Phillips. Andy Bottoms has some family obligations, so he will be unable to join us. And we would like your calls, too, if you want to call in, 646-716-6360. We don't have our call screen tonight, Zach, because he was actually at the game tweeting out some really nice photos. So you can go to Assembly Call or Twitter, at Assembly Call. You can see some of the photos he was tweeting out. So if you do call in, we're just going to have to put you right on the air, so be ready to talk. You can also, of course, go to btownbanners.com/chat for the post-game chat. And make sure you sign up for our email newsletter. It's assemblycall.com/subscribe. We have some fun things planned there, so make sure that you get signed up. But let's begin tonight's show. For me, the banner moment tonight was really just how the bench played overall. This was really a game for the bench. You know, you look down the stat line, Evan Gordon was the obvious one, scoring 15 points, really shooting well, really playing as assertively on offense as we've seen him play, really did a nice job. But it wasn't just him. Hanner Mascara-Perea had 8 points off the bench. Austin Etherington had 6 points, made a couple of threes, made some nice hustle plays. Luke Fisher got in there and had 6 points. Stan Robinson had 6 points and 8 boards, was really active, especially in the first half. So it was a really, really great night for the bench, which was good to see. We've heard a lot about how deep this team is. The challenge, of course, is going to be to take a performance like this and do it against higher-level competition, because we haven't always seen that. But at this point in the year with a young bench, it's nice to see them just, you know, get in, get some confidence, and play well like they did tonight. And so with that said, let me bring in my partner in crime tonight, Ryan Phillips, and let's get his rant on tonight's IU win.
Yeah, I'd echo what you were saying, Jared. I think that the bench really was the impressive part of this game tonight. But I also was impressed just with the entire team's offensive aggressiveness, which was a complete 180 from Tuesday night against Syracuse. They actually looked assertive. The ball movement was fantastic for most of the game. Obviously, it got, you know, the second half was a little up and down and crazy, but for the part of the game that mattered, sort of that middle 20 minutes, they really were aggressive, taking the ball to the hole, at least driving the lane, maybe looking to pass off of that instead of just, you know, kind of passing around the perimeter or looking for a, you know, an easy shot. They were actually looking to, an easy to take shot. They were actually looking to, you know, penetrate and kick and penetrate and maybe finish if they could. And you saw just a completely different team. And, of course, as we've said, you know, this is, I am a broken record with this, but this is going to be an up-and-down season. So it was nice seeing them bounce back after the low that was the Syracuse game, you know, to come back and at least, while the opponent wasn't necessarily stout, to see them come out and have an attitude of attacking and really trying to put pressure on the opponent instead of sort of just laying back and looking intimidated.
Yeah, you know, you look at some of the numbers, especially the offensive numbers tonight that I like to see, is, you know, like the turnover percentage. Indiana, we know they've had a problem turning the ball over. Only turned the ball over on 14.6% of their possessions tonight, which is an improvement. And they assisted on over 50% of the field goals at 53%. So that was, it was really nice. You could see the team really making a concerted effort to make the extra pass, to get guys involved. You know, sometimes that leads to, and you know, one pass is too many, But I thought tonight Indiana did a really good job with that. Let's talk now, you know, again, you know, a game like this, obviously against a team like North Florida, you know, they're going to be one of the easier games on Indiana's schedule. So it's hard sometimes to know what to take out of a game like this. Let me ask you this. If there's anything to be concerned about tonight, Ryan, perhaps it's the performance of Dallas Moore, the guard for North Florida, who scored 27 points, and they were an efficient 27 points. He was 11 of 17 from the field. You know, he was really able to kind of get to where he wanted to on the court. You know, he didn't do much else on the stat line except for score, but we've seen Indiana in the past have trouble stopping guards, you know, guards with a scoring mentality like that. Do you look at his performance tonight as anything to be concerned about for Indiana?
Oh, of course. I mean, he was pretty much their entire offense, and you wouldn't be concerned if, like you said, he was efficient. You wouldn't be concerned if he had 27 points and had taken 25 shots. But, you know, in 17 shots, he got 27 points, and he only shot two free throws. You know, so this was a guy who was beating the defense. This wasn't getting hand check calls and just going to the line constantly. So, yeah, that's a concern, obviously. I think that in the up-and-down nature of the game at some points, they just lost him defensively, and that's unacceptable when a guy is scoring that many points. He's the first guy you should stop. So that's a concern, and you know, guys like Yogi and Troy Williams and Stan Robinson have to recognize if they're on that guy to get to him to close out, and then when you're closed out to him, also make sure he just doesn't drive right by you. I mean, you've actually got to, you know, play solid defense on a guy who's scoring like that. We saw the same kind of thing happen in the NCAA tournament against Temple last year, where it was at Wyatt. Just went nuts on us for a half, and nobody seemed to be able to step up and stop him. And so that's, you know, that's definitely a concern, but I think a lot of it had to do with just the nature of the game and him just sort of getting lost. And, I mean, he had his career high by like 12 points, I think they said at one point. So it wasn't necessarily a, you know, something where this was the guy they had to look out to stop. He just kind of broke out tonight. So maybe they just didn't expect that and were kind of playing soft on him. But, yeah, at some point you've got to recognize and change what you're doing and make sure you get out to stop that guy, because it was obvious he was killing him, even though Indiana was leading by about 30.
You know, in terms of individual performances tonight, Noah was strong. He had 13 points, 11 boards, continued his his trend of making more free throws than even attempts field goals. He was 7 of 9 from the free throw line. He was, you know, an efficient 3 of 5 from the field, but only putting up 5 field goals. But we've seen that, you know, kind of happening with him. He was solid. And I thought, really, when Indiana made their run in the first half, I thought he really keyed it with defense. I mean, he had 4 steals, you know, and he does a good job when he gets steals of pushing it and going the other way with it. I thought he played very well. Now, Ryan, you noticed something, and a lot of people on Twitter actually noticed this too, is finally in the second half we got to see Noah and Luke Fisher playing together. And as we kind of joked, you know, with Coach Kareem's substitution patterns, by the end of the season we will see every iteration probably of players that could play together. But that in particular has been a duo I think that people have been interested to see play together, you know, because it allows Noah to play more of a 4 spot, gets more of that size on the floor. And Luke Fisher's been a guy that we heard a lot about coming into the season and seems to kind of be rounding himself into shape a little bit. Do you expect to see that duo playing together more as we, you know, move into Big Ten play?
Well, I think, again, in the preseason, since this is such an inexperienced and young team that hasn't played together, like you said, Korean substitution patterns have kind of been all over the place. I think he's trying to find groups of players who play well together. It's not necessarily just about finding your best five and then the next five or something like that. It's also about finding guys who, you know, who play well together. And so putting Fisher and Von Lee out there together, you know, they might develop some chemistry. You never know. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you might as well try it, especially before the Big Ten season starts. And I thought that Fisher looked really good tonight. I thought he looked very comfortable on the floor. He hit a nice 15-footer at one point. He was playing solid defense, getting in the mix. They didn't credit him with a block on one of the plays because I think he and Von Lee both blocked a shot together. But, yeah, he's definitely a guy who alters shots and makes some plays down low, and he's good with the ball in his hand. He's not just a turnover waiting to happen, which is we've been used to. You know, Cody Zeller was a phenomenal passer, and so I think that – and very good ball handler, and I think Fisher can kind of fill that role as he develops as well, just a guy who – get down to the post, he doesn't necessarily have to score to impact the game. And so, yeah, I could definitely see he and Von Lee playing together more. I think that's something that they're hoping that another big guy steps up. So it's not all four people on the perimeter and Von Lee in the middle. I think they want to be able to be interchangeable with that, maybe put Von Lee up around the free throw line and have somebody in the post so that way he can cut off of certain things and get himself better positioned that way. So, yeah, it was encouraging to see them in the game at the same time because that means that obviously the coaches are getting more confidence in Fisher to put him out there in that situation. So, yeah, I think that's something we'll see more going forward and hopefully also seeing Hunter Mascara-Perea rotating in with those two as well and seeing, you know, because that's for those three guys, that's a lot of athleticism, a lot of ability, a lot of defensive ability as well, which really will help. And also, you know, those guys should be rotating in with each other because if Von Lee gets in foul trouble, you're going to need one of those other two to step up.
You know, a couple of guys coming out of that Syracuse game that I thought really struggled and that have been up and down this year but are such keys for this team are Jeremy Hollowell and Will Sheehy. You know, you look at the stats tonight, Hollowell had 12 points. He was 4 of 8 from the field and did some good things, I thought. I know you thought that he looked as confident as he's looked in a while tonight. And Will, I thought it was kind of a weird game for him again. You know, he seems to be struggling to me to kind of find his way on offense. And he looks like he's kind of short-arming shots. I mean, he had that nice dunk in the first half off the cut. You know, we're not seeing as many basket cuts. And obviously I realize that's due to just the difference in the offensive makeup of this team. You know, without the shooters to space the floor, you know, there aren't as many of those opportunities. But you know, he in his last three games, he had 6 points, 3 points, 6 points, and he just – you know, he doesn't seem like the same Will right now. He doesn't quite have that swagger. He looks to me like he's kind of just a little bit uncomfortable right now in what he's supposed to be doing. Analyze, if you will, the performances that we saw tonight of Will and Jeremy Hollowell.
Well, first, Hollowell, I thought, you know, he had 18 points two games ago, I think. But yeah. Tonight there was just something about his play where he just seemed confident with the ball in his hands. A couple times you saw him get down in the post and mix it up there. He hit a three-pointer. He had one point where he could have just fired off a three, but instead he took an extra dribble and made an easier shot for himself and knocked it down. I thought he was just overall more confident. He looked like a guy who wanted to be out there and making stuff happen. And you know, I hope this doesn't turn into, and then we've compared, he's such an easy, it feels like a lazy comparison with Christian Wofford because they're the same size, they do sort of the same kind of things on the floor. But I just hope it doesn't get into a thing where we're not sure if it's going to be confident Jeremy Hollowell or passive Jeremy Hollowell on the floor. I think that if he's confident, he's a game changer for IU. He's a tall guy who can shoot it and handle the ball and go inside, outside and mix it up. And he's great, you know, he can be great on defense at times as well. So he's a guy that if he plays like he did tonight, I realize, you know, 12 points isn't his career high or anything, but it was just the way he played, and he was reversing the ball. It was almost like every movement he made had a purpose. It wasn't just kind of wandering through the game. And even at times we've seen him have great 5-minute stretches and then, you know, disappear for 5 minutes when he's on the floor. So tonight just seemed like the whole time he was out there, he was doing something that mattered. And that is huge for Indiana moving forward. As far as Will goes, yeah, I don't know what's going on with him. The one thing you can always count on with Will was he was going to have a lot of confidence and even overconfidence at times, but it's just been off the last couple games, and I don't know if he's just struggling to find his way with this new set of players or what. He seemed to be fine earlier in the year, but you're right. The basket cuts aren't there. There aren't defensively, I think he's been okay. I think he's been solid so far this year, but you know, usually you can count on him making, you know, grabbing offensive rebounds and just kind of, even if he didn't get an offensive rebound, just batting the ball around and being aggressive, and he just seems to kind of be not really in the mix, and hopefully that turns around. Hopefully it's something you can watch on film and kind of figure out as he's going along. So, but I'm not really sure what's going on. I don't think there's any exact diagnosis for what's wrong with Will Sheehy right now.
Hey everybody, you are listening to the Assembly Call. I'm Jared Morris here with Ryan Phillips. We're breaking down Indiana's 89-68 victory over North Florida. I think I misquoted the score earlier in the show. We will be going to the phone lines here in about 5-10 minutes. We've got one caller on the line right now. If you want to call in, it's 646-716-6360. Call in, ask your question, give your take. Let me throw something out at you, Mr. Phillips, that I was thinking while watching the game tonight. I really liked the way Austin Etherington played, and I liked what I've seen of him in the last few games. And it was especially nice today to see him step up and confidently knock down 2 3-pointers, which is something that this team has really been lacking. And as I look at that starting five, you know, with Yogi and Jeremy Hollowell, Troy Williams, Will Sheehy, and Noah Vonleh, you know, Yogi has obviously improved his three-point shooting and is a threat from out there. None of the other guys really are. Even Will, you know, isn't really a three-point threat right now because he's just not getting in position and he's not, you know, taking them confidently. You know, Troy's trying to take him, but, you know, bless his heart, he's just not there yet with the three-point shooting. At what point do you think it might make sense to move a guy like Austin Etherington, you know, into that lineup with the starters? And I don't know if he starts, but to get him to play more so we can get a little bit more spacing, you know, and then maybe let a guy like Will Sheehy or even Jeremy Hollowell, someone like that, kind of play with that, with the second rotation, if we can even, you know, call it that. I don't know that we necessarily have really, you know, a starting five and a second five with as much as we substitute, but I would kind of like to see a guy like Etherington get more time with those, you know, with guys like Noah and Troy and Yogi to get us more spacing, get another shooter on the floor. Do you think that he has what it takes to step into a role like that?
I said at the beginning of the game I would really like to see Etherington and Colin Hartman get some time in this game because I think that both of them can stretch the floor. And I think that that's such a key element. Both are tall and can shoot too, so they can get their shots off. It's not a Jordan Hull situation where, you know, they need a couple feet of space to get it off. These are guys who are tall and are outstanding shooters and, you know, were brought in because of their shooting ability. I think Etherington, like you said earlier, makes some hustle plays and is a smart basketball player. We haven't seen enough of Hartman, but, I mean, he's the same kind of guy. You know, he's kind of a shot maker all over the court, not just from three. But, yeah, I think Etherington is a guy who's still working himself back from blowing out his knee last year, but I would love to see him getting more time because, again, he's a guy that the defense has to account for because you can't just leave him standing in a corner. And he was 2 of 3 from three tonight. But he also, you know, at one point ball faked and went inside and you know, passed the ball around and because they closed out hard to him because they know he's a shooter. So I would definitely like to see both of those guys maybe get in the mix in this pre-conference schedule because we've got to see what they can do. I think Hartman's more a guy that's going to be an impact guy down the line, obviously. He's a freshman. And so it might take some time for him to get in the rotation. Etherington was starting to get playing time last year when he hurt himself. He was starting to be in the mix, and that wasn't as deep a team. So it might be harder. A guy like Devin Davis tonight, we didn't see him a whole lot, and you know, you got Etherington getting some time. So maybe one of these guys is going to have to see their time get a, you know, fall a little for Etherington to get in there. But I think that, yeah, I agree with you. Getting someone like him in there who can stretch the floor is going to be very important, not necessarily in every game in the conference, but certainly in some. Like against the Wisconsin, we're going to need someone to hit some threes. And, you know, possibly against Michigan as well. You're going to need a guy out there who can knock down shots. And so hopefully Etherington can get into that rotation and develop, you know, confidence in his shot and be fine taking him in key situations.
All right, well, we have a caller from the 720 area code. We're going to go there in just a minute, so get your take ready, caller. Before we do that, Ryan, I have a stat that's going to blow your mind. Are you ready?
Please go ahead.
So Noah Vonleh today had 4 steals in the game. Do you realize that his 4 steals are double Yogi Ferrell's season output for steals? He just has 2.
I did realize that, and that when they mentioned that today, that just absolutely shocked me. I can't believe he only has 2 steals. The whole year. He's not. One mistake that people make, though, also is thinking that good defenders get a lot of steals. That's not necessarily the case. To get a steal, a lot of times you have to gamble. And gambling, and that's not to say if you get steals, you're a bad defender, but gambling is something that I just don't think Yogi does. I think he's a solid defender who keeps people in front of him. But yes, 2 steals on the entire season did blow my mind a little.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable. I'm looking at Twitter right now for an update on Devin Davis via Zach Osterman. He tweaked his already sensitive ankle. That's why he didn't return, so he'll be doing more rehab on the injury. Doesn't sound like it's anything that's obviously really bad, just kind of re-injuring what was already hurt. So hopefully he is able to get back quickly. Okay, let's go to the phone line here real quick. We've got our caller from the 720 area code caller. We were putting you live on the air, so state your name, and then give us your take or ask your question.
Yeah, this is first name. My name is Dick McChucks. How's it going?
Hey, going great. How are you?
Good. How about you?
We're doing great. Welcome to the assembly call. What'd you think of tonight's game?
I just want to let you know Yogi sucks. All of them, they all suck.
Okay. Well, we will we'll mute you. I don't really have any patience for that because that's just a ridiculous statement. So I guess thank you for calling. Thank you for listening. But that's really not a constructive comment.
It's nice to know they get our show in West Lafayette.
Yes. I mean, you know, and that's just, you know, there's no point to a statement like that. I mean, obviously Yogi doesn't suck. Obviously the whole team doesn't suck. And so we're just not going to delve into that kind of negativity on the show. If anybody does have a constructive call, however, 646-716-6360, you can call in. Although, you know, sometimes, Ryan, I do feel like that's what Andy is saying, but he just does it with a lot of, like, advanced stats to try and, like, mask his true anger after losses. Do you agree?
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, he definitely thinks the team sucks sometimes. There's no – he thought that last year when we were ranked number one at times. So.
Yeah, he did. Okay, so let me ask you this. And we're not going to go real late tonight. I know everybody wants to go watch Michigan State and Ohio State's national championship hopes. I haven't watched any of that game, but from what I can tell, is it still 17-0, Michigan State?
I think it's 17-10 now, 17-10.
Oh, my. Okay, so things are happening. We'll go for about 10 more minutes tonight. Let me talk to you real quick, Ryan, about Troy Williams, because I know you're extremely high on him. His production is up and down, but, you know, hey, he's a freshman. He's a raw freshman, very talented. We know it's going to be like that. 3 points tonight, only 1 of 6 in the field. He's still taking too many threes, but I liked his activity tonight. Even though the ball wasn't going in, he didn't get many scoring opportunities. He had 7 rebounds. He had a steal. He had a block where he, you know, reached into heaven and then just on the way down swatted the ball away. Only a couple of turnovers. You know, how do you assess a game like tonight with Troy Williams? Because we know the numbers are going to be a little bit up and down. For me, I like to watch his attitude and his energy. And I thought, you know, other than a few moments, I thought he really brought that tonight. And it's good to see from a young guy, even when he's not getting a lot of chances to score.
No, energy will never be a problem with Troy Williams. It really won't. I think defensively he was there. He had the one block, but he altered several shots, grabbed 7 boards. Defense and rebounding for this team are going to be huge, and I thought that he really stepped up and played very well. One thing about he and Vonleh all season is they've been active on the offensive glass as well. Combined, they had 7 offensive rebounds tonight. And, again, that's huge when you're looking at second-chance opportunities and things like that. For a team that's going to struggle in the half court at times, getting offensive rebounds is going to be huge for them moving forward. So I thought his activity was great, particularly defensively. Again, as we said, once he starts knocking down threes, he's going to be virtually unstoppable on the offensive end. And he's got to make his free throws. He's 1 of 4 tonight as well. But once he can start, you know, work the kinks out in his jump shot and start knocking down shots, he's going to be a guy that has an extremely, you know, very well-rounded offensive game. And right now it's just kind of drive and finish. And he I think I've said several times this year, I think he's an elite finisher. But people are going to keep playing off of him and force him to shoot the ball until he develops a jump shot.
The last guy let's talk about individually is Stan Robinson. You know, solid game tonight. Again, 6 points, 8 boards, really active. Only 2 of 7 from the field. But, you know, is he a guy – we talk about how much this team is going to struggle in the half court, and we've already seen it, and we know that that's just going to be kind of a year-long struggle. You know, he seems like a guy to me that can do some nice things in the half court because, you know, he can penetrate. He hasn't really shown the ability to hit the outside jump shot yet, but, you know, he shows the ability to kind of get in there and make things happen. He's just – he's active. He moves the ball. You know, he does good things, you know, and, you know, he had 2 assists, 2 steals to go along with his 8 boards and 6 points tonight. Do you see him when things kind of shake out and when the rotation tightens up, do you see him as a guy, you know, obviously Evan Gordon's, you know, probably going to be the first guard off the bench just because of his experience, but do you see Stan as a guy who can be a valuable rotation player, even as a freshman, you know, just coming off the bench and bringing that energy and scoring?
Absolutely. I think before the season, a lot of people thought he might start. In the preseason, he was a guy who was tearing things up and looked really good. But he, you know, kind of got banged up and he hadn't, you know, looked very good at times. But no, when he's in there and he's playing with confidence, he's very active on both ends of the floor. He's extremely athletic. He's aggressive defensively, which will hurt him at times in the Big Ten. But right now, it's really helping him just sort of get on the floor because Tom Crean loves that aggressiveness. Offensively, he does have to work on his jump shot. I mean, that's, again, he, like Troy Williams, are both great finishers who came out of high school and could dominate in high school, but in college, defenders are better, they're quicker, and they have a better understanding of what they're doing, and so they're going to slack off of him and make him start hitting jump shots. I said this before, and I got some heat from a friend of mine who's a lefty, but he's also left-handed, and whenever he takes a jump shot, I cringe because I'm just a basketball purist that way. It's hard for me to watch, but I think he can figure it out. He's a smooth player, and I think that his three-point shot will develop, and so will Troy Williams. They both have to follow that Oladipo path of just, you know, you work on it until it's better, and then you keep working on it some more, and then some more. And I think both of them will develop that, but it's going to take some time. They're young guys.
Well, as we look ahead, before we go to our final thoughts, this is usually the point in the show where Andy gives us an in-depth scouting report of even the most obscure Hoosier. Indiana's next opponent is Oakland. They play them on December 10th. This is a team that started out the season losing their first 7 games. They have since won 2 straight. Rebounding-wise, they are 347th overall in rebounding. So it's certainly just by kind of a quick glance at Oakland looks like the kind of game that Indiana should breeze by, although they did recently just beat Ohio 73-56. So who knows? Maybe they're getting hot. I don't know the background of Oakland, if they had guys injured early in the season or what. They did face some tough competition in North Carolina and UCLA and Gonzaga, so they've played tough teams. Again, you know, this game against Oakland is going to be another one.
I do know one thing about Oakland. They have a guy named Travis Bader scoring 22 points a game. That's all I know about them because I watched him for like 5 minutes one night, and apparently he's just lighting it up. So
well,
it could be another situation where we have one guy that Indiana has trouble stopping.
Yeah, and he's a guard. He's only shooting 41% from the field, so he's not especially – you know, efficient, but he is a senior, so that'll be good, and that's something that we can watch. And obviously, you know, after Indiana was torched today by a guard, hopefully, you know, that's something that they work on and can kind of shore up because we know that we're going to face some tough guards come Big Ten play. And again, you know, you just want to see the team, I think, you know, communicate defensively, continue to rebound well, and continue to move the ball. Again, to me, that's what I loved seeing tonight was, you know, the assist percentage, the lower turnover percentage. We weren't playing a great defensive team tonight, but it was just good to see the team making better decisions with the basketball and creating some of those good habits that we're going to need later on in the season. All right, Ryan, with that said, I will kick it over to you for final thoughts, and then we'll close things up.
I think just today it was nice to see the team bounce back tonight, not have a hangover after that brutal Syracuse second half. They came out, and while it was kind of ugly at times in the beginning of the first half, I think that they really at least were aggressive and, you know, kind of, like I said, a 180 from the second half of that Syracuse game. They did, you know, they got caught in transition defense a few times, giving up easy baskets and things like that. But at least there was sort of like a purpose, and they were just, if anything, a little too over-aggressive, and then kind of slowly asserted themselves on both ends of the floor as the game went on. So it was just nice to see them bounce back, not have a hangover, and play a really good about 25 minutes of basketball before, you know, it was blowout city and they could put the backups in. So it was just nice to see them bounce back, put that Syracuse game in the rearview mirror, use Oakley, they're going to be able to use that Oakland game as sort of build up to Notre Dame, and then we'll just start getting ready to ramp up for Big Ten season.
Yeah, and I agree. It was nice to see the team bounce back, and I thought they did bounce back for the most part. The other thing I'm going to be really curious to watch from the Oakland game is Will and how he comes out, because, you know, Will's done so many great things for this program since he and Victor came in together. You know, and I know, you know, we talked a lot about the movement, you know, and how important that recruiting class was. Well, to me, you know, the movement happened obviously well earlier, and I thought it was that recruiting class, you know, of Victor and Will that really kind of brought the swagger, the confidence back, the, you know, the effort, the energy, all of those different things. And, you know, I think we all really want to see Will go out and have a great senior season. And I think that was what the expectation was. And he started out doing that in some early games. How concerned should we be about his little, you know, dip here these last two or three games? I don't know. But it's starting to get a little bit concerning for me. I wanted to see him have a different kind of body language tonight, a little bit more confidence, and, you know, to see him continue kind of short-arming shots and just seeming a little bit out of place is a bit concerning. It's not, I don't think, totally surprising when you have so many new faces and so many guys he's been used to playing with for, you know, for two or three years are now gone. You know, he has to kind of figure some things out as much as some of the freshmen do. And so I hope that this, you know, some of the up and down performances that we've seen from him are a byproduct of that, and that as the non-conference season ends and we get into the Big Ten season, he's able to find his way. Because when we get into the Big Ten season in those tougher environments, places where he's played now two, three times, his experience is going to be very important. You know, I think he needs to be playing confident, have some of that swagger back, you know, be the guy that's leading this team emotionally. He does not have to lead the team in points, you know, and I don't think he will most nights, but he's got to lead the team, I think, just in effort and swagger and confidence, and that's going to be especially important, again, in some of the Big Ten's tougher venues. So let's watch for that against Oakland, and hopefully he can start to get that going again, because this team, this is a good team, and it's a team that is improving, and it can be even that much better if it's got a guy like Will with his experience and his talent. When he's playing with confidence, can be such a difference maker for this team. So let's watch for that against Oakland. Hopefully he gets that turned around. We thank you all for listening tonight. Again, Indiana beats North Florida 89-68. The Hoosiers are now 6-2 on the season. They play Oakland on December 10th. That game tips at 6 o'clock Eastern time. We will be here. I think we'll have a full cast of characters that night for the post-game show. We'll be here. So be sure to tune in, assemblycall.com/live. You can go there immediately after every game, and we'll be there with a post-game show. Again, sign up for our newsletter, assemblycall.com/subscribe. We're going to be doing some fun things, plus it gives us the opportunity to let you know of any special edition shows or last-minute schedule changes that we have. And other than that, everybody, go enjoy the rest of the Ohio State-Michigan State game. Enjoy your weekend. Stay warm if you're in one of the many, many areas of the country that's having cold right now like we are in Dallas. Then enjoy your Sunday, and we will talk to you all next week. Have a great evening, everybody.